This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Jeff Parles of Sports by the Book will join us. We will go over a bunch of things as we have a Final Four set in the NBA. We'll go over some Mets, Yankees, get his thoughts on baseball. Maybe he's got some hockey thoughts. Who knows? NFL schedule. But we will start here with the NBA, and a bit of a bummer because I was really looking forward to this game seven, OKC Denver. And it looked like Denver was not only up for the fight early on, but you're thinking, man, what a disaster this would be for OKC. They've got the MVP. They're not going to get out of the second round, 68 wins and up 21 to 10. That was about as good as it got for Denver. OKC closed the first quarter. It was a 5-point game. You figured maybe they're back on their feet. And they were, and before you know it, OKC's up 14 at the half, and the second half was just, in boxing, when there's a knockout, they end the fight. In these other sports, when there's a knockout, they just drag the body across the ring for the rest of the game, and this was dragging the body across the ring for the entirety of the game, the entirety of the second half, as OKC marches on. I don't know that it made a difference. I gave out Denver plus 8.5. Thursday night doing this podcast into Friday. I had no idea Gordon was hurt. It's not an excuse. They lost by 40-something points, and Gordon played. Even if Gordon was prime Michael Jordan today, I don't know if they're winning that game. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but Gordon was not the difference here. I don't know that I would have bet it if I knew that Gordon was hurt, because he got hurt the end of the game number six here. OKC was pressing, 10-point game, and Gordon hurts his hamstring. I was shocked he played. He was somewhat effective. I was on the air while the game was going on, so I have to go back and watch. I can't imagine he was 100%, but regardless, OKC was the better team. OKC was going to win this game either way, and they win it. They win it comfortably, and they are now headed to a conference finals. OKC and Minnesota, and then we have the Knicks and the Pacers. OKC minus 7 for game one, minus 350 for the series. That continues to get bet up. I would look towards OKC and 5 is the short shot. At plus 360, OKC to sweep is 5-1. OKC and 6 is 5-1. I'm torn between 5 and 6. I don't think it goes 7. I don't think it's a sweep. 6 seems like a stretch, but Minnesota's played them pretty well in the regular season recently, for whatever that's worth. So I think OKC and 6 at 5-1 is interesting. It means closing it out in Minnesota, which is possible. We've seen that before. Hey, you're up 3-2. Just kind of trade punches early on, go up 3-2, and then close it out in 6. I think that's possible. It'd be a toss up between 5 or 6. Again, I don't think it's going the distance. I don't think Minnesota's winning. I don't think it's 4, but OKC and 6 at 5-1, decent value. I think that's a decent bet. I'd be shocked if OKC didn't win the series, and I'd be pretty surprised if OKC isn't holding up the trophy here in a month or so, and we can look back at game number 4 in this series when they're down 2-1, down 8. 71-63 in the fourth quarter, came back and won that, avoided 3-1 deficit. And then in game 5, 2-2 series, they're down 80-68, end of the third quarter. They get off the mat there, they win that. Even though they lose game 6, they obviously roll in game 7. So I think we look back at the end of this series, or at this survival of this series. This had a lot of great subplots, 1-2 in MVP. The fact that, it was the champion against the contender, Denver, a previous champion, and the proposed upcoming prospective champion, I guess is the right way, the right word for it. Prospective champion, hopeful champion, the contender in OKC. I thought it was there's great drama there. It's just game 7 didn't live up to the hype. This was a series worthy of 7 games. And if you're Denver, won a championship 2 years ago. And as we're learning, one championship is a lot, because the way Boston's falling apart with their injuries and their salary situation, not falling apart, but doesn't look like they're a title contender next year. And who knows after that? So I guess falling apart is not that strong of a statement, probably a fair statement in terms of just being an elite level title contender. Denver wins it 2 years ago, falls apart in game number 7 against Minnesota in the second round last year, loses that series, or who knows, maybe they get to a final and play Boston. And now this year, they just don't have enough role players. They just don't have enough support behind Jokic and Murray. Murray's a good playoff performer. He's a good player. He's a good second banana. He's not a great second player. And then after that, Porter's dead weight. Westbrook, forget it. Westbrook was awful in this series after a good series against the Clippers. Gordon is a good role player, really good role player. But It's just not enough. There's just not enough from, and Brown's a decent player, but there's just not enough guys, five, six, seven, eight. And it's just not a championship core around Jokic. And you wonder at Jokic's age, not that he's ancient, but you know, he's not gonna, and he's still the best player in the world. He's the best player in the world by a pretty wide gap, I would say. 5 years from now, he's not gonna be the best player in the league. 3 years from now, is he gonna be the best player in the league? I mean, you're running out of chances here where he is this A plus level MVP kind of guy. And you know, maybe next year, maybe another year, but if you're Denver, you're gonna have to figure out a way to get this roster better around him. And the West is not getting any easier with Flagg now going to Dallas, Spurs either getting the second pick or swapping that for Giannis, like a lot of people expect, like I would expect. You know, Lakers have Luka, Rockets were a two seed. OKC is obviously the dominant team in the conference, and they're not going anywhere with their young players, young assets pick. So a little bit bleak for Denver in terms of winning another championship. I think when they won one, it was a feeling that they could win a couple. And the same thing with Boston the following year. It's just, as you're learning, it's very hard to string these championships together in the NBA, really in any sport. It's hard to win championships. So tough for Denver. They lose again in the second round. They were valiant. I mean, nobody expected this to really go six or even seven. Nobody expected this to be a long series. The fact they pushed it seven really had their opportunities to win. It was a valiant effort. It was a good performance. They probably exceeded expectations. They did exceed expectations, but it's sports. You win or you lose, and they lost. And they have the best player in the world now. And this is 2 years in a row where no trophy for him in terms of winning a championship. And you wonder if he ever wins another one, at least in his prime. So they're going to have to get him some help. And it's just not that easy, especially in the West. So that's the Denver side of it. OKC advances. I think OKC is winning the title. And when they do get to the finals, and the possibility that we could have a Pacers Timberwolves finals is boy, David Stern is rolling over in his grave. If David Stern, if there's a possibility that anyone could ever come back to life, it would be Minnesota, Indiana, NBA finals. David Stern might pop out of his grave and just squash that before we can get there. But I do think it'll be OKC and the Knicks here in a couple of weeks. I think the Knicks are going to the finals. I know, look, from a betting perspective, over 5.5 games, I think it's a really good play. I think this is a long series. I think this is a good series. I ultimately think Knicks in seven. You can get that at +400 at DraftKings. To me, both teams, I think home court has not held up a lot in these playoffs, especially in the Knicks series, where the road team went 5-1, and the road team did really well in the Boston series, winning the first three games. Really, winning the first three games. The road team did. It wasn't until game four where the Knicks beat Boston to go up 3-1 the night Tatum got hurt. That was the first road win of the series. That was the first home win of the series, and the home teams won 4, 5, and 6. So, you know, home court has not meant a ton overall, especially in the East, especially, you know, with the Knicks. That being said, I think this is a series where home court could hold up a bit. I think that very equal teams. I'll just go with the home court being the tiebreaker, and that will be a raucous, raucous environment. Rematch of last year, you're going to hear Spike Lee and Reggie Miller and those, you know, 8 points in 9 seconds, whatever that was. And, you know, all of the great battles they had in the 90s. If you're old enough to remember those, it would seem like every year those teams met in the second, third round. Well, that will be revisited. And now for the second time in 2 years, because the Knicks lost in seven last year. The whole team got hurt. The whole team fell apart. Thibodeau completely ran him into the ground. I don't see that happening this year. And the Knicks were going to win that series last year. Knicks were up 2 games to none, and they were about to win game three. And you're looking at a possible sweep if they could have won game three. They lost game three, got blown out in game four, and then guys just started to get hurt left and right and hurt and worn down. You name it. And then the Pacers pretty much ran them off the floor in game seven. I think the Knicks get their revenge. I think they win in seven. I don't think it'll be easy. I think that they'll struggle to guard Indy at times. I think Indy will have a hard time guarding Brunson. I think both teams present mismatches. Indy's bench isn't great. Knicks are a good team, but a thin team. So evenly matched series, Knicks in seven, over 5.5 games. I love. I know you got to lay some juice, -165 at DraftKings. I'm okay laying the juice. I'd be shocked. Shocked. Anything can happen. No, there's always a way for any bet to lose, but I'd be shocked if somebody sweeps. I'd be shocked if somebody wins in five. So I'll say OKC in six. I'll say Knicks in seven. And then we're looking at it. What is still a strange, that would be a strange OKC Knicks final. I wrote that up for Fox. OKC over the Knicks 7-1. I wrote that what last Friday, so like 10 days ago. So hopefully that gets home for my Fox column. I do think that'll be the case. And if it is ever OKC Knicks are gonna get absolutely pounded in that series. Maybe they get a game. OKC would have a chance to sweep the Knicks. But hey, if you're a Knicks fan, First of all, you don't. I picked the Celtics to win, as most people did, so you don't really care that I think that the Thunder are going to pound them, and you'd be so happy to get to a finals. It would be gravy. I know you want to get there, and you want to win once you're there, but I would expect that the Knicks to have a hard time if that is the final. I think the champion's coming out of the West, and I think it's going to be OKC. I think OKC dodged their bullet against Denver, surviving Game Four, surviving Game Five. I think OKC here, and that'll be a good story after everything they went with Durant, Harden, Westbrook, tearing it all down, building it back up, getting so much for Paul George, having this iteration after such a missed opportunity with having three former MVPs and only getting to the one finals before they slowly but surely broke it up. This would be a good story, some redemption for OKC to win a title. And I always said it about Denver and Boston. When they won, it felt like they're set up for more. OKC is set up, if they win this one, to feel like they're set up for more. But it does feel like OKC is going to be a champion, and they demolish, absolutely demolish Denver in game seven. So the picks, Knicks in seven plus 400, over 5.5 games, minus 165 in Knicks Pacers. And then I'll go OKC in six plus 500. Minnesota's played them well enough where I'll give them two games. So that's what I think. We'll see what Jeff Parles thinks. Sports by the Book. That is next. This is the Should Have Been More podcast. All right. Sports by the Book is where you can find him. We got a lot to discuss, NBA, maybe some NHL, but we'll start with what we just watched. That is the Yankees with a 6-run eighth, capped off by a grand slam from Cody Bellinger. Yankees win 2 out of 3. Jeff Parles is here to discuss all of it. Jeff, what's going on? Yanks win 2 out of 3. How are you? What's your reaction here?
I don't really have a change in what I thought of both of these teams going into this series. I don't really change my thoughts. I mean, for the Yankees, they are at worst the third best team in the American League. At worst, probably the second best team, depending on what you think of the Tigers at this rate. But clearly the best team in the American League East, especially with the Red Sox being unable to get out of their own way for the most part. The Rays are mediocre. The Blue Jays are mediocre. The Orioles are a disgrace to baseball at the moment. But thoughts on the Yankees don't really change. And the thoughts on the Mets, it's Soto hasn't gotten going. Their infield defense has been bad. Their bullpen, other than Diaz, has been pretty inconsistent recently. But you look up and they still have the second best record in baseball. So it's like, all right, well, I know there's a lot of Yankee fans out there trying to make this a referendum of, oh, the Yankees are better off without Soto. The
nonsense.
The Mets are still the same old Mets. That's all BS. It's nonsense. I think I texted you 3 weeks, not even 3 weeks into the season, and I thought only three teams mattered in baseball: the Dodgers, the Mets, and the Padres. I'm willing to add the Cubs. I'm willing to add the Tigers and the Yankees to that list. But if the champion doesn't come from that collection of six teams this year, I think the only one outside that mix that has a realistic shot is the Phillies. But I don't buy them still. Maybe that's just because they can't beat the Mets right now. But again, not much to be said with this weekend. I thought the Yankees completely outplayed the Mets on Friday. The last two, I know it was 8-2 final on Sunday, but Saturday and Sunday were coin flip games. It was just a matter of who got to the opposing team's bullpen last. The Mets got the run in the ninth. Diaz shut it down after they got that run on Saturday, and then the Yankees took full advantage. Really, the whole key of that whole eighth inning was Ryan Stanek's inability to strike out Vivas when he had him 0-2. And that turned into a marathon, and then Alonzo made a throw that was circa Lucas Duda.
I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, trust me.
I was thinking the same thing.
Well, it was a haunting flashback of what was the moment that I knew that the World Series was over, which, by the way, if we're going to do something 10 years in the past real quick, that base running decision by Eric Hosmer was one of the worst base running decisions you'll ever see. He only got away with it because Duda made a throw that you would have expected out of a sixth grader. Throwing the ball home, even a lot of sixth graders would have been able to make that play, but I digress. Well, but again, I don't really take much, at least from the teams. I think it's very funny from a large portion of the Yankee fans that they've convinced themselves they're better off without Soto. They're not. And the reaction this weekend, I expected it to be bad, but it floored me how the Yankee fans in attendance basically treated Soto. That was the closest I've ever seen any professional athlete treated like LeBron James was treated when he left Cleveland the first time in game. And that honestly floors me. And I don't think that reaction would have come if Soto signed with Boston. I think it's just that there is a little bit of a what the hell happened here? The Mets are supposed to be our little brothers. They're not allowed to outspend them, and it turned into this whole mess. Very strange behavior, more so than anything to me. Friday night, sure, whatever. It's the first thing. The fact that it lasted all weekend was kind of stunning to me.
You hit on it perfectly. The fact that he left the Yankees bothers the Yankee fans, but the fact that it was to the Mets more so than the Red Sox, more so than any other team, tweaks the Yankees in a way where it challenges the superiority the Yankee fans has over the Mets. Like, oh, you guys never spend. Sure. We're the Yankees. You're the Mets. This tweaks that. And it strikes a nerve that you see so many different reactions, so much. What's the saying? Doth protest too much. There's just so much of this, you know, mental gymnastics. Oh, he signed with the third best team. Yanks are better off. He doesn't play defense. There's all of these defense mechanisms that are just complete nonsense.
It's insane to me because it's like the revisionist history also that's been going on this weekend from some too. It's like Soto had 40 homers last year for the Yankees. Soto had the biggest moment of the postseason last year for the Yankees. Worse. Like it's just like some things break people's brains. And for a good segment of the Yankee fans, and you hit it right there too, like just the ethos of what the Yankees have been forever, like got hit hard with Soto going to the Mets. Like even if Soto went to Boston, I really don't think, like, yeah, it would be like, it'd be pissed off. You go to the biggest rival in the division, but it's just something different when little brother strikes up and is like, oh. And in the end, Soto only took an extra $5 million. Like, that's really all he took, dude. That's the funny part. Whatever. It is what it is. But on the field things, like, none of my thoughts change. Like, there are six teams that can win the World Series in Major League Baseball this year. And two of them played in the Bronx this weekend. And one of them got swept by the Angels at home this weekend. Like, that's the other thing. Like, you can't overreact to three games out of 162. Everyone has a crappy week. I mean, the Dodgers getting swept by the Angels is one of the most outrageous things I can remember in the regular season. Like, crazy, crazy that happened there as well.
At home, too. Before we get to basketball, do you think anyone else emerges from the American League? It looks like Texas has played a little better. You mentioned Boston can't get out of their own way. You and I were both pretty high on them. A lot of people were high on the Red Sox before the season. What are your thoughts on some of those other teams in the American League? Who gets going? Who doesn't?
Look, Detroit and the Yankees, I think, have separated themselves. I know Minnesota's on this ridiculous streak right now. I know the Guardians and the Royals have both played pretty well. I don't see any of those other three Central teams as a real threat. I think Cleveland has gotten extraordinarily lucky this year. Kansas City might be the luckiest team in baseball, so I'm throwing them out. Twins are playing great, but I don't see them being able to sustain over 162. You look out west, Seattle did 20-game stretch where it looked like, okay, they finally turned the corner offensively. And then the Blue Jays and the Yankees rip them up for six games at home last week. So I still don't fully buy Seattle. I don't know. I mean, Texas, look, if DeGrom continues pitching like he has recently, that's a hell of a 1-2 punch with him and Eovaldi, right? Sure, I mean, that's a great 1-2 punch. That in a wild card series is really scary. And a division series, you got a shot if they win the division and get the 2 seed, which, again, I would be surprised if the Yankees and the Tigers aren't 1-2 in some order. Boston, look, the talents, Bregman's worth every penny of that contract right now. So the Red Sox are the one team that's kind of like the fringe playoff team at the moment. It's like, okay, if they put everything together, they are the one team that I know that I can beat anyone, but their pitching has been inconsistent. And look, Devers may have finally flipped it around this weekend also. But even though I have Detroit and the Yankees ahead of everyone else in the AL, like baseball playoffs, Like anything can happen as long as you make the dance.
Did the Thunder win the championship on Sunday?
No, but they made it. You know, it's these NBA playoffs have been so bizarre, Will, because again, even like the funny thing with Tatum's injury is that if the Celtics just hold the line in games one and two, like, all right, yeah, like Tatum gets hurt and it screws up the Eastern Conference Finals, but Boston's still playing in the East Final if the Celtics just hold the line in game one and game two. And maybe Tatum doesn't go as hard after that ball, they're up 3-0. Like, there's a lot of butterfly effect stuff that happened because of game one and game two's collapse. Minnesota is live against Oklahoma City to flip it back to the West. Minnesota is 100% live. Anthony Edwards, look, I know Shea's going to win the MVP. Anthony Edwards is the best player in that series. And when you have the best player in a series, you can win. Now, these NBA playoffs have been a little bit backwards. Like, Giannis clearly the best player in the Milwaukee-Indiana series. Bucks losing five. I know that he had no one, but he had no one around him. Mitchell's the best player in the Cavs-Pacers series. Pacers beat them in five. Tatum's the best player in the series before he gets hurt against the Knicks. Knicks are up 2-1 in that series before Tatum goes out. We're seeing more teams without the best, better player winning series. But again, OKC was a monster in the regular season. Shea's going to win the MVP. J-Dub finally showed up in that second quarter today to put that game on ice for OKC. But I think Minnesota's alive to beat the Thunder. I don't think either of these teams have a shot in hell of beating OKC. I don't see it. I think the Knicks lack depth. I don't know how good this Indiana – it's so weird with Indiana, right? Like, you're in back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals. Like, you would expect this sort of monster, and then you look at them like, aren't they a good team? But I don't think they're great by any stretch. Halliburton has took it to another level this postseason. But, yeah, it's just a long way to get to that Oklahoma City. I would be surprised if they don't win it. But Minnesota's more than capable of beating them. More than capable of beating them.
Are you betting Minnesota in this round? Either or plus money or both?
I think you got to take plus 1.5 games. And I think you got to take the bloated price. I mean, boy, I'm a little mad at myself. I didn't take Denver plus 2.5 games pre-series. Like, forget the 1.5 games. Like, Jokic is too good for that series to have gotten shorter than 6. And look, they ran out of gas. Gordon's injury really played a big role today, I think. I'm okay with taking OK. I'm 7 exact games plus 1.5 on Minnesota and that blow at a price on the Wolves. I don't have a problem with that. Again, OKC is more than capable of winning in 5, which you always are worried about. But the T-Wolves are really good. It's also kind of amazing, too. Like, well, I was having this conversation with a friend of mine the other day. There are hard to find many more loser franchises in North American sports than the Minnesota Timberwolves. And they made back-to-back Western Conference finals. They had one conference. They had one conference final appearance, and it took KG being the best player in the NBA by margin that year to get him there.
And the Lakers smoked them.
And the Lakers kicked their ass. And I think it was a 5-game series. What Anthony Edwards is doing up there. It can't be understated, Will. That franchise was a nothing burger for their whole existence except for 1 year, and now they're in back-to-back West Finals. Very impressive.
Them and Indiana, they both made the conference finals back-to-back years, and both years is a surprise. Usually when you make it 1 year, the next year is not a surprise. It's weird to make it back-to-back years for both teams, where both of them is a surprise. Very unusual.
Highly unusual. And look, I got to credit Indiana, and I will say this, like, if you're power rating the final four coaches left, isn't Rick Carlisle by far the best of the four remaining coaches? So that gives Indiana at least, again, like this Knicks-Pacers series is really weird to me. Because last year, I thought the Knicks were significantly better. Obviously, the injuries ended up being the difference in that series. Indiana wins in 7. This year, I know the Knicks, every metric tells you the Knicks are better. And then you watch them and it's like, all right, how much better are they really than last year? But they are. By every single metric, they are. And having Bridges is such a big deal. And in Indiana's pretty similar to what they were a year ago. I mean, a small difference. But In the East, I think I'm taking the Knicks in seven. I think when it's all said and done, I just, like, Jalen Brunson is the guy that I trust the most in this series. So I'm just going to take him, even though Indiana has the better coach. But if the Pacers win this series in six, I wouldn't be shocked. Again, nothing surprises me in the East. But, boy, it's going to be really interesting if OKC loses to Minnesota, though. Well, if OKC loses to Minnesota, I think the Knicks have a better shot. And, boy, those storylines in the Knicks-Minnesota final would be outrageous. Outrageous, Will, because of that trade this offseason. I know Adam Silver doesn't want Indiana and Minnesota. I can tell you that. Even though that might actually be the most interesting of the four remaining possibilities, Will, in all honesty, an Indiana-Minnesota series.
Yeah, and if it was ever Knicks-Minnesota, I can't imagine there's ever been a trade before the season where teams swap all-stars, then meet in the finals.
Like
I can't think that's ever happened.
Before the season, no less, too.
Yes.
And you know, I got to give Julius Randle his due, too. He's been awesome all year.
Yeah, he has.
And for a guy who I don't think has ever properly got his due for how good he really is. What a year he's had. And, I mean, the Knicks have gotten a pretty good Towns experience. I mean, you kind of know what you're getting. You're getting a lot of, wow, how the hell did he do that? And then you're getting the, why the hell did he do that? So a very weird, unexpected. And it's nice to see the NBA playoffs give us some unexpected stuff for once.
Absolutely.
Though. Usually chalk, 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 chalk. Even OKC had to really fight to get through Denver.
I made the point that the NCAA tournament, I've been making this point, is usually upsets and, you know, unpredictability and wild finishes. And the NBA is usually chalk. They switched this year. They swapped where the NCAA tournament was just completely boring and a lot of chalk. We had some good games along the way, of course, but it was all favorites winning and covering and winning comfortably. And the NBA has been just complete madness.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't be shy. That's my part of the reason that I'd give Minnesota a real shot to beat Oklahoma City, but I just can't back off what I picked OKC at the beginning of the regular season. I picked OKC at the beginning of the postseason. No reason to back off now.
So Knicks in seven pays 4-1. Is that that's worth a play in your mind?
Yeah, not bad. Small, not bad. Small. How big of a favorite are the Knicks overall right now, Will? For what?
$1.40.
$1.40, $1.50. Yeah, I take Knicks in seven, take a little bit of the Knicks -40. Like that, I just in the end, I trust Jalen Brunson the most of anyone in this series.
Over 5.5 games is -165 at DraftKings for Knicks Pacers.
I would be floored if this is a
short game. I'm totally with you. I'd be floored is one way to say it. Floored is a nice way of saying broke because I will be betting this heavily. I can't see this going to 4 or 5.
No, I will say, if this is a short series, that means Indiana won this series in a sweep or 5. I just don't see the Knicks winning a short series in this series.
Thibodeau's had a habit of losing series where he's had home court in 5 games. He's had that happen a lot to him on his career. I don't see it happening, though. I just don't.
Yeah, I mean, look, the one that stands out the most is the 2011 East Final, but that was not his fault. Miami team, Miami, by the end of that year, was the best team, even though they choked the finals.
No, they were. Who wins in hockey? Who wins the cup?
Edmonton.
Okay.
Edmonton. I don't buy Carolina. I know that like the betting numbers have them as the best team left, and they've been they were huge favorite. They were favored in all 5 games against Washington, and you know what? Probably correctly so with the way that series went. Florida, I'm just terrified at some point Florida's going to run out of gas. I just like they played so much damn hockey over the last 3 years. Will, they're in the cup final 2 years ago. They win it last year. I just worried at some point they're going to run out of steam. And I mean, look, if Edmonton's going to play like they did in the night series, no one's beating them because they just shut down the Knights completely. And the guy and their defense, I mean, Stuart Skinner went 6.5 periods without giving up a goal in that Vegas series. If you're getting that out of Skinner, forget it. Like, give him the cup. I really do think. I think it's Edmonton over Florida when it's all said and done. Well, redux of last year, but the opposite result.
All right, couple quick ones before you go. You can just do one word answers if you want. What team is Giannis? What team is Giannis on next year?
The Milwaukee Bucks. I don't think he's getting traded. I don't think he's getting traded. Just because, from everything I've read, the two most logical spots that he would want to go are Toronto and Brooklyn, which I don't see enough assets on Toronto in order to do that. And for the Nets, I don't know. I just wonder if the Nets are skittish after everything that's happened with them, with going star hunting and then it just blowing up in their face. I think Giannis starts the season with the Bucks next year. I really do.
Was the lottery rigged?
100% yes. Not even a doubt in my mind, yeah, that's the most mad I've been at ping pong balls in a very long time, Will. But yeah, look, good for you. You know what? You got to feel good for the Mavs fans because they got completely screwed by their GM and their ownership group. And now at least they have something to look forward to because Cooper Flagg's going to be awesome. And I will say it's a shame they didn't do it for San Antonio because if it was Flagg, Wemby, and Fox down there, oh boy, that would have been a hell of a lot of fun, Will.
How many wins for the Rockies at the end of the year?
Oh, geez. White Sox at 42 last year, right?
41.
41. Rockies get 43.
Oh, wow. I mean, you're higher than I thought. I'm thinking
the problem is, though, for Colorado, Colorado's played the easy portion of their schedule, and they're still this awful. Like, that's the problem for Colorado. Will, I will say, I one thing that the books have started to do, but they were a little slower than they should have been, is when Colorado plays at Coors against a good offensive team, as long as they're not 7.5s on the team totals, you should be betting the opposing team over against a good offense. Yeah, I won 2 out of 3 with San Diego last weekend, but more times than not in that ballpark, that pitching staff, which is horrific, is going to give up 7 or 8 runs in a game at Coors, especially in the summer when the weather gets warmer.
Yeah, Dolander's pretty good. I like him. I don't know that he can be effective at Coors. He pitched pretty well Sunday, and he pitched against Arizona. He pitched pretty well Monday against the Rangers. So maybe he's a good pitcher, but it's just so hard to pitch at Coors.
That kid, it's a shame he went to Colorado because yes, that kid was unbelievable at Tennessee. Best pitcher in college baseball by margin the year he came out. I'm kind of with you. He's the only one I'd be a little bit concerned, but like, Freeland and Sanzatella and Marquez, like, just light them up at this point.
Yep, absolutely. You like Mets in Fenway tomorrow, or Monday, I should say. Senga going against Dobbins. Mets are -$1.40 favorites. Total 9. Sunday at baseball hangover. You take the Red Sox. You like the Mets. Anything in this one?
Seems steep, but Senga's been awesome this year. So,
yeah.
Will, I know you've noticed this. There is a bigger than normal differential between home and road splits this year. Like, the Mets are unbelievable at City, and they've been average on the road. They're not alone. There has been a bigger than usual distinct advantage to having home field in baseball through the first 2 months now.
Jeff, appreciate the time, man. Let everyone know where we can find you.
Yeah, we're Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern. Sports by the Book on YouTube. Myself, Alex White. Get you ready for the day in sports on Monday. I know you'll have this up before the show. Monday, we talked to our friend Dwayne Colucci and a former co-worker of both of ours, our good friend Danny Burke, will join us on Monday as well. So we're looking forward to that on the show.
All right, Jeff, appreciate the time, man. We'll do it again soon.
Absolutely. Well, thank you.
Rate, review, subscribe, goldboys.com. You can check out the Discord. Thank you to Jeff Parles. We'll be back Wednesday. See you then.